It's a distraction, a trap. Do not answer it. No.
Elle?
No. Sorry, not interested. Telemarketers.
Maybe we should just call them.
We can do that?
I think so.
Yeah, but what would we say?
We'll say nothing. The Kuizar tribe still needs your help.
All right, then. I'll use my torch to set fire to the chambers, sacrificing ourselves, killing the Jujus, and saving the Kuizar. We all live on as heroes in the memories of the Kalamar.
Victory.
Fine. You guys win. Congratulations.
Will, I was just messing around.
Hey, let's finish for real.
Yeah.
How much longer is the camp?
Just forget it, Mike.
No, we want to keep playing, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
We'll just call the girls afterwards.
I said forget it, Mike, okay?
I'm going home.
What?
Come on, Will.
Move!
Will, come on. You can't leave. It's raining. Listen, I said I was sorry, all right? It's a cool campaign. It's really cool. We're just not in the mood right now.
Yeah, Mike. That's the problem. You guys are never in the mood anymore. You're ruining our party.
That's not true.
Really? Where's Dustin right now? See? You don't know, and you don't even care, and obviously he doesn't either, and I don't blame him. You're destroying everything, and for what? So you can swap spit with some stupid girl?
Elle's not stupid. It's not my fault you don't like girls. I'm not trying to be a jerk, okay? But we're not kids anymore. I mean, what did you think, really? That we were never gonna get girlfriends? That we're just gonna sit in my basement all day and play games for the rest of our lives?
Yeah. Yes, I did. I really did.
Will, come on!
Hey everybody, this is Tony with the Stranger Things podcast, and today we're covering Chapter 3, The Case of the Missing Lifeguard. I must say that this episode wasn't one of my favorite episodes. There's really never a bad episode of Stranger Things, but I will say that this episode did progress the story, as every good storyteller will tell you. This is something that you want to do with a story. So with this episode, it was closer to a filler episode, if you will. But like I said, it wasn't one of my favorite episodes of the series so far. But I'm going to jump right into it. Today's episode is going to be a little bit shorter than usual. But so I'm just going to jump right into the episode. So the episode starts off with Max and Eleven via the in-between, more commonly known as the Void. And they're basically just trying to figure out what the boys are doing, what's going on with them. And they're having this this really great conversation between the two, and they're talking some things out. You're really starting to see a friendship bond begin, and they're starting to bond between one another. And they spy on the boys, and of course they're doing these gross things that teen boys usually do, which of course I know all too well, because I was a teen boy. But the way they go about it, and I don't know, it's they are spying on them. Is this okay? I don't know. And then they later on, they say in one of the next episodes, you know, we kind of make our own rules, or at the end of this episode going into the next episode, Max pretty much says this, and then 11 reiterates that same point to Mike when they're starting off with the sauna test in the next episode, which we'll get into. But I just found this to be really funny. Lucas is, you know, farting, and Mike is burping, eating these Doritos, and it's just a really comical scene. But 11, she goes back into the upside down, not the upside down, the void, and she sees Billy, because they're doing a kind of like this new spin, no pun intended, on spin the bottle. And when they come to a name, of course, the first name is Mr. Wheeler, Ted. And of course, we know there's nothing exciting going on with him. So they spin the bottle again, and it goes on to Billy. And Billy, it seems to have taken someone. Now, we now know that it was Heather that he took. And 11 is really, she's really disturbed by what she's seen. You know, we get the iconic theme music to Stranger Things right after that has happened. And then we get the next scene where, you know, for me, you know, this is one of my favorite parts of the episode, was when Max and 11 are talking and they're walking down the street, and, you know, Max is saying happy screams and talking about Billy's room, and she just really just dives into that, and it's just a really awkward and funny scene, which I absolutely love. There wasn't a whole bunch of highlights within this episode that I truly loved or that are iconic, except for maybe the last few moments, probably the halfway point before it throughout the episode. And then we have Spycraft with Steve and Dustin at the mall, and they're spying and trying to see if they can find some Russians. And then we get the scene, the jazzercise at the mall, and, you know, Steve and Dustin's the look on their faces is just so, it's priceless. You know, they're mortified and just really sucked into what they're actually seeing. But to go back a little bit, Will and Mike offer an unsuccessful D&D campaign, and Will is just sitting there, and he's just, why is all of this actually going on, you know? And he's wanting to play D&D, and he really wanting to get into this old campaign like they used to do, you know, when we saw them at the very beginning of this series, the first episode, first few moments, we see them in the basement, and they're playing D&D, and Will's trying to recapture that, especially after everything that has gone on over the last couple of years. And you can see that they've really grown up, and things are starting to change, and Will isn't changing as fast as the rest of the party. And he even brings up the point that, you know, they don't even know where Dustin is, and they really don't even care. And, you know, and I just love that whole, because, you know, this plays really true to life itself. And he's just really, really upset. Now, 11 is in the void trying to reach Heather. And I just, oh, just that whole scene and the imagery behind it. Her reaching for Heather, and Heather falling, and 11 falling into the bathtub and reaching out, and there's just no sound. I love the sound quality in this episode. I will say is some of the best that I've seen so far. Now, we go back to the mall after Steve and Dustin have seen the horrific jazzercise, which I remember seeing this within my lifetime, and being at the mall, because this was a huge thing, because they would actually have these huge storefronts that would set up these impromptu studios for jazzercise. And, you know, of course, you would have housewives that would go in there, and they would go through this whole process of, you know, getting in there. And of course, it was just to see the young gentlemen, the hunks, as they would say, and just seeing them, and, you know, with all these, you know, motions that they would do. Anyway, I'm not going to get too far into that, because that's a whole story in and of itself. But Robin figures out back at the mall the code, and she is very, very intelligent, very, very smart. And we see a lot of her come out in this particular episode, and she's fastly becoming one of the best characters, as far as I'm concerned, in this series overall. And she just really pieces everything together, because Dustin and Steve were listening to this recording of the Russians, and she pieces it all together literally within moments. And this is just another area of woman empowerment, female empowerment within the show, that I absolutely love, because they are just as important, probably more important in certain aspects of the show than some of the guys are. And I know a lot of guys are not trained to hear it, but, you know, this is how things, you know, probably most likely would be for the most part in real life, you know, because there's always this balance, right? It's not necessarily all one side, and you can tell that the writing is done. There are female writers on this show as well, and you can tell that they've been consulted a little bit about, you know, where the story should go, how characters should be written, and how there are different sides to every character. And we're getting a lot of that within this particular series, and definitely this particular episode. So we get the scene where, you know, Will he's just angry, upset. Him and Mike get into this argument outside the home when Will realizes that Mike and Lucas have bigger things going on, and they don't find it as important to play D&D games anymore. And, you know, him and Will and Mike get into it, the biggest argument I think they've had thus far, because there's this realization that's starting to percolate, starting to occur between the two. And, you know, Mike basically says, you know, not to be a jerk, is what he says is that it's not my fault that you don't like girls. And there's a lot going on between the two of them. And, you know, maybe this is foreshadowing some character development for Will later on. And he gets upset and angry, and he just bikes off in the rain. And then we get this scene where Will is tearing down Castle Briars, and he's in there, and he's looking at all these old pictures and these memories that he has, and, you know, that life is no longer there, and he's like, this is just so stupid. And, you know, it's just really sad to see him starting to go down this road, but he's on a different path right now. But then we get this moment where he gets this feeling again, and this is the feeling of the mind flayer, which we learn later on. This is what's going on, and he's just really all into to tearing down. And, you know, as an aside a little bit here, there was a point where Will is, you know, people say that he dropped the F-bomb in this particular episode, but I had the subtitles on, and there is no mention or indication of that whatsoever. There is a F-bomb, which upon first viewing or two, I didn't realize it. And maybe it was because of the intensity of the scene itself. And this is in season, in episode 4. So we'll get to that road and cross that bridge when we get to it. But I just found this to be really, really, interesting. Now, Mrs. Driscoll is found by Nancy and Jonathan in her basement, creepily, eating fertilizer in the basement like an animal. This is a creepy scene, just like some creature of the night crawling out. Like, I mean, she's one of the rats. I don't know if she's been embodied by the rats somehow, that of course we know some of what is going on with them. We got a little bit of an indication in one of the last episodes where the rat explodes, so we don't know exactly what's going on at this moment, at least from a narrative perspective, but we start to piece some things together, and we're starting to see some correlations between the humans being taken over via invasion of the body snatchers. There's definitely a vibe within this season going on there, and I think every season they try to do something horror related, and this is definitely the vibe for this season. There was the Jaws, and then there's Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and I forgot what the second season put out there, but definitely this was Aliens was one of the major movie references throughout the second season. That's what it was. It was Aliens for the most part, and Freddy Krueger. But Freddy Krueger is Nightmare on Elm Street. That was referenced throughout the first season for the most part. But and then there's Hopper's fight with the Russian, and we know his name, but we're not going to mention it here. We're going to talk about that once we get to the episode. But I'm just going to call him Terminator for now, because there's definitely some references to Terminator, him having the bite, which if anyone's seen Terminator Judgment Day, Terminator 2, that's one of the best movies ever. And definitely, I would definitely recommend checking that movie out, because it really plays on this episode, and really this season really plays on that, especially when we get to the amusement park scenes later on in the season. But this is one of my favorite scenes, and Hopper, he just gets his, you know, ass handed to him so handedly throughout this scene. And we can tell that this guy, he has some military training, and Hopper says as much in the next episode of the series. So I have another aside here. Max and Eleven at the door, and when the door just opens, and we have seen a scene like this, similar to this, in season 2 in episode 7, The Lost Sister, when she Eleven, she goes to see her mom, and her aunt won't open the door, and the door just opens. Well, we have this same similar scene with Max and Eleven at the door, but they're in a yellow and red raincoat, which is so, the imagery on that is just so great. I loved it. And definitely it's playing on It, because, you know, I don't know if anyone's seen the recent It movies or the original, but It was so well played within this particular episode. And of course, Eleven is in the yellow raincoat. And of course, we have Georgie within those movies and the original miniseries made for TV in the early 90s, that really played on that. So, you know, of course there was rain and they were in their raincoats, and just the imagery of those two at the front door, it was great to see the door just automatically open. So of course it was definitely playing on the It, and there was definitely overtones throughout the entire episode. And then there's the Billy scene with Elle and Max at Heather's house. And I didn't realize, but her father is the boss at the Hawkins Hawkins newspaper. So, and we get this really creepy scene of Billy, and we can kind of tell, you know, of course, goes right back to the invasion of body snatchers. He's been overtaken because he's different. He's a little bit nicer, but he's creepy as all get out. And there's the scene where Billy's just watching them as they go on, and we see the realization that the Mind Flayer is definitely inside him, and it is using him as the host now. And he's piecing the Mind Flayer within Billy. He's piecing all the things together as he's looking at them outside of the door. And I just love when Stranger Things does this, because they've done so much of this so well throughout the entire series thus far. They give you so much information in just short, in such a short period of time. They don't have to give this all this backstory and extra exposition of story throughout the entire series. They'll give it to you within 20-30 seconds, and we'll see this definitely really play into this this type of storytelling later on in the I think it's in season not season, but it's in episode 9 of this third season. And we get that, and there's the Mind Flayer is he's figuring out she's Levin is the one that that has actually closed the gate, and the Mind Flayer realizes that Levin is the one that's closed the gate via Billy. And Will knows now that he's back, because we go back to the Castle Byers when he's tearing down. He gets those feelings on the back of his neck again, almost like, you know, falling from a roller coaster. We'll get a reference to that a little bit in the next episode. But I just love the way they connect everything together, and everything is just so well made. And the story is told well. And this is what I love about this show, because we don't get a whole bunch of extra crap, you know. And although this, for me, it felt somewhat like a filler episode, it really wasn't. I would say probably the first, honestly, to be fair, I would say probably the first 20 to 25 minutes was filler. But even within that, we get a lot of things told to us, and we get a lot of the storytelling that really builds to something bigger. So I think that all of that was very important. So I'm gonna be fair and say that no, it wasn't necessarily a filler episode, but it just felt like there was just a little bit, maybe things could have been tightened up. Although when they do tighten the story up in certain areas and elements, it really tightens everything thing up. And I just love what they did within this time that they had to tell the story, especially in this episode. But I think it's one of the best stories within the series itself, just moving throughout a lot of that. And then we get the ending scene, American Pie at the dinner table. This was probably one of my, this definitely was my favorite scene of the episode, because we get this, we get Billy and we get Heather. Heather's coming in, and there's all of this creepy, almost 1950s vibe, Stepford Wives thing going on here, where everything is so clean and sanitized and high, and Billy and Heather, and you know, it's just, I just love what they're doing with this scene, with this series in general, but just this scene, I just loved that they really inculcated a lot of that. And I think we're going to see a lot of that, especially with the Creole House, that idyllic setting of suburban family life that was possibly big for certain groups of people in the 50s and 60s. I think this is really well played, and I think we're going to see a lot of that in this season 4 with the Creole House and the family that was there. And of course we have Robert Englund coming back, also known as Freddy Krueger. We see a lot of him within this upcoming season. So I can't wait to see what they're going to do with that whole storyline and everything. But just the way they're so callously, Billy and Heather just, you know, drug the mom, and Heather hits her father over the head with the bottle, and Billy coming over, and it's just, everything is just so cold and callous. But this is what the Mind Flayer is. He's, you know, he's cold and callous. And not to, not for any puns there, but we see a lot of that because that's what he likes, cold. And, you know, I'm saying in a physical sense, but here I'm talking about more or less the philosophical coldness that we see displayed across the camera. But that's pretty much the episode, and just a lot of the highlights from the episode that I loved about this particular one. There's not much more in it. I wish there could have been more. Now for episode 4, there's a lot going on there, so we'll definitely dive deep into that. You know, a lot of the references that I'm getting for this particular podcast is coming from several of the books that I've read on it, and one of my favorite books on it, and I'm not getting any sponsorship whatsoever for mentioning any of these books or anything, but it's a book written by Joseph Vogel, and it's called The Stranger Things, Stranger Things in the 80s, The Complete Retro Guide. And I did a full reading of this. If you want to go back probably about 10 episodes, you can go back and you can find the entire reading of all the chapters within that book. I did it like an audiobook form, so you can go back and check all of that out and just see where the Duffers got a lot of their not necessarily experience, but they got their influences from, and you can see a lot of that sewn throughout, and they said that they've done as much. Well, this has been Tony with Stranger Things Podcast. Make sure you guys subscribe, like, share, follow, leave a review. Please leave a review so we can rise up in the rankings as far as podcasts. As far as right now, I am the number one Stranger Things podcast in the world. That's right, in the world. So to see the support and the numbers, and for me just getting on here on my little podcast, that, you know, because I just love the 80s, so this show was right up my alley for my age group, and I just really like to talk about how it was back then to those that maybe didn't experience it, and further go down a lot of that memory lane, if you will. So I can't wait to get further into Stranger Things, specifically season 4, and some of the lore and myth. And like I said, this podcast, these episodes won't stop with the 5th season, because of course, whenever the spinoffs, when and if they happen, I will cover those as well, and I will cover all news surrounding Stranger Things, and of course jump into all of the graphic novels and comic books, and do some complete book readings for the show itself and Stranger Things. So this show, as far as I'm concerned, will be around for years, so we're not going to stop with just the 5th season. So something that I will continue to do for years to come. Well, anyway, like I said, this has been Tony with a Stranger Things podcast. like I said before, subscribe, like, share, leave reviews, please. Share the content. Jump on. I'm on Twitter, which I won't be on there, honestly, for much longer. I'm going to leave up everything up until about the end of the year there. And then it will be done. I will move everything off of there. But right now, I'm on TikTok, so you can follow me there, and I'm gathering a really big family, and I'm putting out videos, but I'm going to be putting out the episodes on there, so you can go right to the episodes and check them out. So anyway, I'll see you guys in the Upside Down. Hey everybody, this is Tony from A Stranger Things Podcast, and today we're going back in time a little bit here to episode 3, chapter 3 from the third season called The Case of the Missing Lifeguard. Let's hear some of my thoughts from back then. All right, my number 5 for the week, Mrs. Driscoll at number 1, finding her eating fertilizer in the corner. Just the imagery, the sounds, the music, just everything about this entire scene was just not right. The first thing I thought of was rats in a horde eating fertilizer. It was one of the scenes that I will never forget, and it, as I brought out several times already in this episode, and you know, this has deeply disturbed me, but it will be one of the ones that I will not forget. All right, number 2, Will and Mike's argument. This brought out some revelations maybe about Will himself, or maybe some things he's dealing with, or maybe some things he's about to deal with per se. But this just brought out so many things about the entire relationship and what he has, Will, what he's gone through, and how Mike and the other guys perceive things. All right, number 3, Steve and Dustin, Spy Hunters. This is one of my favorite partnerships in the entire, and I didn't even realize this would be a thing, but this partnership between these two, they just play off each other so well, and I just love the friendship and the dynamic that they have, and it just works so well because it's honest, and it's, and you can feel the heaviness in it, but yet the playfulness in their relationship, because one's like a mentor to the other, and it just works on so many levels, and it works well, and it brings an innocence to Steve, and it also brings a sophistication to Dustin, because he's far beyond his years when they're together, because he's giving Steve some advice, and Steve's taking some advice, and kind of like not taking some advice at the same time. But they, you know, these two as spy hunters, I just love the whole scene and what they're building between these two. All right, number 4, dinner with Billy and Heather. This was creepy. This is another creepy, and it goes to say that they're going with the whole horror vibe for this season, even more so than in the last two previous seasons. This is kind of like a horror
horror comedy, and I just loved this scene so much because it was almost satirical to its core, and I felt that they just did this so well. It also brought up something else too, that really Billy and Levin haven't really met each other up until this very point, at least not that I can remember, because I'm trying to remember all through season two and I just don't remember, because keep in mind Eleven was isolated really from the rest of the entire group up until the last couple of episodes, and she definitely didn't have any contact with Billy, at least until the last episode or over halfway through the because she was going on her own Eleven, she was going through her own I guess pilgrimage of sorts, and she just was dealing with a lot of things within herself. Episode 7 of course was all about her, so there was really no one else involved during that whole episode in itself. But I just loved that whole scene with Billy and Heather, because it was just eerily creepy, and it's just kind of like I said, it was really satirical, and they built it up extremely well. All right, now my number 5 for the week is Robin Cracks the Code. She's very smart. She's funny. She keeps she keeps Steve in his place and calls him on a lot of things over and over again, and she keeps him really grounded, and she seems like she's that balance that he really needs, that maybe Nancy wasn't, because they both were kind of like maybe cut from the same cloth. They kind of like were both they were both from the right side of the track, and they're from the right sides of the track. I'm using air quotes here to really convey that, so that you can't see me because it's audio, of course. But anyway, Robin is really great, and she is one of my favorite. She's actually in my top three favorite characters going forward. So when she cracks the code, she gets it all. She puts it all together. She's very smart. She reminds me of a very, very subdued Joyce at this point, as far as her being able to put things together and figure out exactly what's going on in a semi manic manner. And even Steve was like, she's a little bit too hyper for me, and she's in the band. And then of course you have Dustin calling him on all of that repeatedly over and over again, and you need to get out of that, and you need to look for something better in your life. Not necessarily to say that Nancy wasn't the better, but maybe she didn't I guess bring out some of his better qualities. And for me, it's like, the same thing is happening with Nancy and Jonathan. They're kind of like both from different worlds, and they're getting along somewhat well together, and they're trying to figure out and understand each other. But we'll talk about all of that, I guess, in future episodes.
In all our lives, there's a fall from innocence, a time after which we are never the same.
When the night
Columbia Pictures presents,
and the land is dark,
a Rob Reiner film
is the only light we'll see. So darling, darling, stand by me.
Stand by me.
Janet, Tom, This is my sister, Maxine.
Oh!
What on earth are you doing here? Is something wrong?
We just wanted to make sure everything was okay.
Okay? Why wouldn't it be okay?
Where is she?
I'm sorry. Where is who?
Well, they're a little burnt, I'm sorry.
Heather! This is my sister, Maxine. And I'm sorry, I did not quite catch your name.
Elle.
Now, what is it you were saying, Elle? You were looking for somebody?
I saw your manager at the pool. He said you guys didn't come into work today, so we got worried.
Heather wasn't feeling so hot today, so we thought we'd take the day off to nurse her back to health. But you're feeling just fine right now, aren't you, Heather?
I'm feeling so much better. Do your girls want a cookie? They're fresh out of the oven.
She's just not, you know, really a people person.
No, I just don't like the idea of them out there in a storm like that.
They'll be fine.
Oh!
I told you to slow down on that wine, Jenna.
Yes, darling.
You okay, Mommy?
Yes, I'm just feeling a little lightheaded, so.
It's all that wine.
I'm sorry. If you'll excuse me, I'm just gonna go upstairs and lie down for a bit.
Janet? 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 Janet?